no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me once again for another 60 minutes of old-time radio drama. We'll hear first this week from Suspense and their story from December 2nd, 1943, titled The Black Curtain. After that, it's Escape and Robert of Huntington, their story from October 26th, 1952.
Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
The world toasts Roma, and Roma toasts the world. The wine for your table is Roma, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here for Roma Wines to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight in Hollywood, we are honored and happy to have with us one of the entertainment world's most distinguished gentlemen, Mr. Cary Grant. The suspense play which stars Cary Grant and which is produced and directed by William Spear is the exciting and tense bestseller by Cornell Woolrich called The Black Curtain. Suspense is compounded of mystery and suspicion and dangerous adventure. In this series, Roma brings you tales calculated to intrigue you, to stir your nerves, to offer you a precarious situation and then withhold the solution until the last possible moment. And so, with The Black Curtain and with the performance of Cary Grant, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
Began, or rather life began again for me, I guess you'd say, that day, on that street. My head was pounding terribly. I could hear all the noise and the people milling around. Everything was a jumble at first.
I seen it happen, Mr. Policeman. He was running. Boy, he really gave himself a clunk on a beat.
All right, sir. Now get back there. Everybody back there.
Oh, my head.
His wallet fell out of his pocket, and a big boy grabbed it and ran away.
Now back, everybody. Let the doctor through. Give him air here.
I'm okay. No, never mind, Doc. I'm okay.
Seems to be not a much the matter with you, sir.
No, I'm all right.
I guess I can talk to him now, Doc?
Go ahead, officer. Just a bad bump on the head, I think. That's right. We can walk all right, can't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Sure. Here, now let me brace you on.
Thanks. Well, I'll be fine. Hey, wait a minute. What am I doing with an overcoat on?
All right now, mister. Just so they got it on the blotter. What's your name? Where do you live?
Townsend. Frank Townsend. 820 Rutherford Street.
You want a cigarette? You're still shaking.
No, thanks. I don't smoke.
Well, I'll be getting back then. Drop in at the receiving hospital if you want us to take you off.
Right? Yeah, I will.
Hey, here's your hat, mister. I found it.
Oh, thanks,
that's
kid.
That's all. Now, come on. Move along. The guy's all right. Come on. Oh, well, thanks. I'm sorry about the fellow that got your wallet. Anyway, here's your cigar case, Mr. Townsend. Guy found it right alongside of you.
Hey, wait a minute. This isn't my hat. D.N. Those aren't my initials, D.N.
Sure, that's your hat. I seen it roll off you when you went down. Try it on. You see, it fits. Looks good.
Yeah. But what am I doing with a cigar case? D.N. Same initials as the hat.
Don't you even know your own hat, mister?
Wait a minute. I'm trying to think. Where is this?
What?
This street.
You're on Tillery Street.
Tillery Street? What am I doing on Tillery Street?
He's lost.
All right now, sir. My suggestion is that you go on home and go lie down. It's cold and starting to snow.
No, please, wait a minute. Don't leave me. Tell me. What happened?
Why, you slipped on this icy sidewalk. Fell down and hit your head good and hard on the curb. You're out for about 20 minutes
Wait. Ice on a sidewalk?
Well, look at it. That street cleaning department ought to clear away the snow there, too.
Snow and ice?
Sure, why?
Snow? In July?
July?
Why,
It's December. December 1943.
1943?
You better go on home, son. Good night.
1943? December 1943. The last I remember was July 1940. 3 years just gone. Amnesia. A black curtain comes down over your mind. That black curtain had been over mine for 3 years. Where had I been? Who had I been? I hadn't been Frank Townsend. I'd been someone else. D.N. Someone whose initials were D.N. I walked along Tillery Street thinking about it. Those 3 years. I could have been married. I could have been a thief. I could have... Something made me turn around on the street for a moment. That was when I first saw him. Gray eyes. He'd been talking to the cop who took my name. He looked up as I did. And then he started to walk rapidly in my direction. I backed away instinctively. Something about him spelled trouble. He called to me as he came forward.
Hey, you, stop! Townsend!
Instinctively, I knew I should run, get away from him.
Hey, you!
I looked back as I rounded the corner. He had a gun in his hand. He raised it. Then I turned and ran for my life.
What lay behind that black curtain which separated Townsend from his past? With this remarkable story, and with Hollywood's distinguished Cary Grant as our star, the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, tonight assumes the sponsorship of Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills.
This is the dinner hour at an exclusive yacht club in Latin America, and we discreetly eavesdrop on that gentleman and his lady there at the table.
This has been a lovely dinner, Ramon, and only you would have thought to have such a delicious wine as the finale. It was so perfect. Is it truly a wine from California in North America?
Yes, see? This is the noted Roma port of California in the United States. We were fortunate to have it tonight, for now, in time of war, only occasional ships can bring us Roma wines. I knew that you would.
Fortunate? Yes, for Roma wines please the exacting tastes of wine lovers in many countries. And we in the United States are most fortunate of all. Or we can enjoy any of those delicious wines from the famous Roma wineries located in choice wine districts throughout California at prices unbelievably small for wines of such distinguished character. Because we do not have to pay heavy shipping costs and duty, here at home in America, Roma wines cost only a few cents a glass. What's more, you'll find Roma California wines just around the corner at your favorite dealers, right there waiting for you now. The types of Roma wines you most enjoy. So if you haven't yet discovered the delight of Roma wine regularly with meals or when entertaining friends, make your first purchases of Roma tomorrow. R-O-M-A, Roma, America's largest selling wines. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
And now it is with pleasure that we bring back to our soundstage Mr. Cary Grant and The Black Curtain, a story well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Why was he following me? With a gun. What did Gray Eyes want with me? I must have done something. I beat it down the subway and hid. I had to think it all out carefully. I knew I was on the spot for something. Gray Eyes meant business. What could it be? Who had I been during those last 3 years with that black curtain in front of them? Well, maybe I'd been a gangster, and he was one of a mob that wanted to rub me out. I didn't know. No identification, my wallet stolen. Nothing in my pockets that would help. Just D.N. in the hat, and D.N. on the cigar case. D.N.! My head was aching with worry. My stomach had panic in it. I had to find out who I'd been, what I'd done. But how? Where?
Tillery Street. That's where I'd been when I woke up. Tillery Street. Well, maybe Gray Eyes would go back there, too, looking for me. But I had to take that chance. Tillery Street.
Yes?
Oh, good evening, Pop.
Oh, hello there. Couldn't see you under that hat at first.
Oh, yeah. You know me?
Sure. What can I get you, son?
Oh, well, you got an evening paper I could look at?
Nope. Sorry, never read them. Too much trouble in the world these days, anyhow. Yeah. See, how you been? You haven't been around 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, well, I've been kind of busy. Look, Pop.
Yeah?
I made a bet with a guy that even though you see so many customers, you'd walk right up and give me my full name.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry, I don't know it. I don't think I ever heard your name.
Oh.
But I know your girl.
My girl?
Mm-hmm.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Well, now, maybe I can still win my bet if you'll give me her name.
Gee, I've heard you mention it. I'd know it if I heard it.
You what? Well, see if I can steer you a little. Now, is it Mary?
Nope.
Alice? Lillian? Margaret, huh?
No. Wait a minute. Wait. I know. Ruth. That's it, Ruth.
Ruth?
Yeah.
Well, sure, you got it. Now, what's Ruth's last name?
Gee, I don't know her. I know where she lives, though.
You do?
Yeah, right across the street, the Tillery Apartments.
Well, that's right. But now, what apartment? What's the number of Ruth's apartment?
3C. Apartment 3C. Say, that's pretty good if I do say so. I was only there once, remember? The night I brought the sandwiches over.
Thanks.
Will you win your bet, mister?
Huh? Oh, yeah, I think I will.
What's your name so I'll know it next time?
I'll tell you tomorrow. I hope.
So long.
So long, Pop. Thank you. I'll be...
What's the matter?
Nothing. I just tying my shoe. I'd just been going to walk out when I saw him standing across the street, gray eyes again. I ducked down behind the store window and watched him. He looked over in my direction and then up and down the street. Oh, then he lit a cigarette and strolled down the corner. The minute he disappeared, I yanked the door open, dashed out, ran across the Tillery Apartments and went in.
Who is it?
Ruth?
Yes?
It's me.
Dan! Oh, Danny, where have you been? Get in here. Oh, darling, it's really you. I thought you...
Hello, Ruth.
Oh, Danny, why did you come here? He's been around here twice today. He may be in the neighborhood right now, for all you know.
Who?
Oh, well, Flattery, of course.
Has he got gray eyes?
What? Yeah. Did you ever see a detective that didn't?
Sure.
Danny, what's the matter with you? You're acting so strangely.
Well, I just want to look at you.
You seem so different, so far away. You haven't kissed me.
Well, that's easily fixed.
Oh, darling, where have you been for 3 weeks?
All around. Miss me?
You know I did. Oh, Danny, do you think we could get away tonight? I've got $3,000 saved up. We could go to Mexico or South America. We could get married. Mr. and Mrs. Daniel Nearing tour the world.
Daniel Nearing? Oh, yeah, and wife.
Sounds plenty good to me.
You'll never know how good.
We'll get out of here tonight. I'll call up and tell them I'm quitting my job. I'll say I'm sick. All my stuff's here. Nothing's out there but a couple of uniforms. I'll make Alma and Franklin a present of those.
Alma and Franklin?
Don't you bother your pretty head about those two charmers. Maybe they weren't glad when it happened. A couple of vultures. Bye-bye to them. Oh, with you back, Danny. Just think, with my $3,000, we could...
Do you think you ought to quit your job?
Absolutely, I think so. I was never cut out to be a nurse anyway.
Oh, I guess you weren't. Any more than I was cut out...
Any more than you were meant to be a secretary.
That's right. Well, I never wanted to be a secretary. Just drifted into it, I guess. Kind of got on my nerves, especially toward the end. You know, the boss was no cinch to work for.
He certainly wasn't. He was a rat. The whole Dietrich bunch are mean, rotten, the whole family.
Yeah, that's right.
All except the old man.
Oh, yeah, the old man. I sort of liked him, didn't I?
He loved you, Danny. I think he wished you'd been his son. Poor old man. He's the only reason I've stuck around out there this long.
How are things out there?
Oh, they've been questioning all of us. They've laid off lately, though, since you... Oh, Danny, don't let's talk anymore about it. You're back. That's the main thing. I just want to forget New Jericho and the whole...
New Jericho, huh?
Yes. Oh, Danny. Danny, if only it hadn't happened.
What hadn't?
You know what. Oh, Danny, what's going to become of you and me?
I wish I knew.
Danny, get away from that window. Leave that shade down.
But he's down there.
Who?
Gray Eyes. He's standing in front of the hydrant. He's coming in here, in the building.
Oh, did he see you?
Ruth, will you help me?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to give myself up.
No, no.
Well, it's better than getting shot at. What can they do to me?
You crazy fool. They can send you to the chair.
The chair?
Well, what do you think happens to a man when he's guilty of murder?
Murder? Ruth, listen to me. I'm not a murderer. If the whole world says I committed murder, I say I didn't. The me that's in me says I didn't.
I never said you were, Danny. I always said you didn't do it. Oh, if you hadn't run away.
So that's it.
All right, Deering. Open up.
Why did you come here, Danny? Why?
Ruth, quick. We gotta get out of here. How about the fire escape shaft? Dumbwaiter.
Dumbwaiter. Here.
All right, get in. I'll stand on top and work the ropes.
I don't think it can hold us both.
It's got to. Can you hear me?
Yes, Danny. Danny, what do we do?
We're going back there to New Jericho.
New Jericho? No, Danny, don't. Please, for me.
Got to. I've got to find out. We're going together.
No. No, Danny, no. I've got the money. We can get out of here and
now
we...
Stop it.
Danny, ouch. My arm. You're hurting me.
But from here on in, we're sticking together. You're going to take me back there. Back where it happened.
All right, darling. Crazy, but I'll go wherever you go. I can't lose you again.
On the train, Ruth and I said very little to each other. While I hid in the telephone booth at the Pennsylvania station, she'd bought us a couple of cheap overcoats. I sat hunched up in mine, thinking. Ruth had brought along the newspaper clippings. I looked at what they said for the 20th time, trying to see if there was anything there that would help me. Dietrich Slayer's sought, it said. Secretary wanted in brutal slaying at suburban estate. Police are pressing the search for Daniel Nearing, secretary in the employ of the late John Dietrich, 58, member of a well-known local family who was shot and killed in the drawing room of his New Jericho estate on the morning of November the 7th. Nearing disappeared November the 7th, on the morning of which date he is known to have had a bitter quarrel with the deceased. This last was attested to at the inquest by Alma and Franklin Dietrich, widow and brother of the murdered man. Well, I had all the facts now. Wanted for murder. And yet everything that was in me told me that no matter who I'd been, however many memories I'd lost, that I was no killer, that I couldn't have. I had to get into that Dietrich house and stand again in the room in which it had all happened. Maybe something would come back to me. Maybe there would be...
Danny.
Over here, Ruth.
Oh, it's so dark, I couldn't see you. I said I had nothing to do in town and came out to write some letters.
Let's go, then.
Oh, Danny, I'm scared. Please, let's not stay out here.
You said you loved me.
I do, Danny, I do. That's why I'm scared. They're only going to the village. They'll be back in half an hour at the most.
Come on, open the door, Ruth. Hurry. I've got to see the inside. That room, the place where it happened.
It's wrong, Danny. I'm telling you, you're wrong. They'll find
you. Open the door, Ruth. Quickly. All right. Now, let's have a look at that room.
Please, Danny, please don't. Don't talk about it.
So this is where I'm supposed to have murdered John Dietrich, huh?
Danny, please.
Where was it? Show me exactly where it was, Ruth. I've got to know.
It was there. Right there. He was standing by the grandfather's clock when... Oh, are you going crazy, Danny? If they get you, you'll hang.
By the clock, huh? You still believe in me, don't you, Ruth?
I believe you, Danny, but I'm scared. I love you.
Ruth, wait a minute. What's that? Listen.
skull of the old man. He's asleep in that room off there. Don't go in there, Danny. You'll wake him.
I want to see him.
No. No, don't, Danny. He can't help you. You know he's paralyzed and he can't talk.
Turn on the light. I want to see him.
There, you woke him. It's me, Mr. Dietrich. Ruth. This is Danny. You remember Danny, don't you?
Hello, Mr. Dietrich.
See how his eyes are shining.
Yeah. Was he here when it happened?
You know that, Danny. Why do you ask such funny questions? He's been in bed here for 5 years.
That mirror. On the wall there. The clock. Look. You can see the grandfather's clock in the other room.
What are you getting at, Danny?
He could see it. The old man could see the murder through the mirror. Oh, if only he could talk.
He can't talk. You scare me, Danny.
He saw the man who killed John Dietrich. Look, look. He understands what I'm saying. He's blinking his eyes.
Oh, stop torturing him, Danny. Can't you see what you're doing?
But he's trying to say something. Look. Look. His eyes are blinking. He's going to help me. Go outside and watch, Ruth. Go on.
Now watch out at the entranceway. Be careful, Danny. Please, they'll be back any minute.
All right, leave me alone with him.
And I'll call if I hear them coming.
Look now, Mr. Dietrich. Don't be afraid. I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to answer me. Are you trying to tell me something about the murder? Now, blink your eyes. Blink twice if you are. And that's it. Once. Twice. That's good. Did you see it happen? Here, in your mirror. Blink once if the answer is no. Twice if the answer is yes. Once. Twice. You did, huh? You saw it. Now then, is the murderer in this house?
Danny, they're coming. Frank and Alma, get out of here. Hide. Run, Danny, run.
Is the murderer in this house? Blink once for no, twice for yes. Yes, in this house.
Danny, they're coming.
Wait, I've almost got it. Now, Mr. Dietrich, was it me? Once for no, twice for yes. Was it me?
Get out of here, Danny, into the big room behind the curtain. I'll talk to them.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks, Mr. Dietrich. I'll be back.
Ruth, is that you in Father's room?
Yes. Are you here alone?
Oh, yes. Why?
Well, we thought we heard voices. What are you so jittery about, Ruth?
I'm just tired, that's all. May I go to bed now?
Father's still awake, Ruth.
He'll go to sleep, all right. I'm going upstairs, Mrs. Dietrich, now.
Good night, Ruth. And take your flashlight with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was dark on the road tonight.
Good night, Ruth.
Good night.
She's brought him back here with her. Him, I think.
Who? Dan? Oh, Franklin.
Take it easy. If he's here, we'll get him.
After the evidence we gave against him at the hearing, I'm frightened. Let's get out of here fast. I'll go to the village for the police.
Call the police. No, I'll do it. Hello? Hello? It's too late. It's dead. The wire is cut. Come on, we'll both drive to the village.
But he may be waiting for us out by the car.
Uh-uh. Oh.
What? What are you doing there, Franklin?
I think I just might need my gun. Come along.
The moment they left the house, I made for the old man's room. I called for Ruth, but she was gone. Maybe Franklin and Elma had caught her after she cut the telephone wire, but I couldn't wait. My life was hanging on minutes now. I shot the flashlight on the old man's face. Now, Mr. Dietrich, you're helping me fine. You know I'm trying to save my life, don't you? Now, the murderer. Was it me? Was it me who did it? Me, Danny Nearing. Blink once for no. Once. Once! Oh, you're sure. You're sure it wasn't me. Oh, you're smiling, Mr. Dietrich. Smiling. Now, it was somebody in this house. Then who was it? Oh, can't you make a sound? Help me, you've got to. Was it Elma? Twice for yes, once for no. Once. Not Elma. All right, then. Was it Franklin?
Up with the hands, Neri. Up, or you'll never go to trial.
Franklin. Look, you've got to listen. You've got to.
Shut up and drop that flashlight. Trying to kill the old man, too, huh? The murderer returned to the scene of his crime, eh?
You know I didn't kill him.
Well, you tell that to the police. Alma will have him here in a couple of minutes. Where's your girlfriend, Ruth?
She's not here. I don't know where she went.
Never mind. They'll find her. You're a dead duck, Neri. You killed my brother and beat it. What'd you get out of it? That's always puzzled us.
You killed your brother, and now you're going to kill me.
Oh, you've gone nuts, too. Why should I kill my own brother, you idiot?
To get his share of the estate and his wife, Alma, amongst other things. But you can't stop with killing me. Someone else knows the truth. The old man saw it in the mirror.
Huh?
You'll have to kill your own father, too.
The old man saw it? How do you know?
He told me.
Oh, you're lying. He can't talk. He can't even move.
He can hear. And he can blink his eyes. Come over here and look.
Now, look here. I don't...
Rolfs!
He'll be all right. I heard him. He was going to kill you. Here's the gun, Danny. Take it.
Oh, Rolfs, you shouldn't have. In another minute, I'm not sure it was, Franklin.
Oh, Danny, darling, please, let's run for it. They'll be here in a second. It's your last chance. They'll all swear you did it.
Not if I can be with the old man another half minute. Mr. Dietrich. It's Danny again.
No, Danny, don't.
Quiet. Tell me, Mr. Dietrich, was it Franklin? Did Franklin kill your son, John? Blink once if he did. He's afraid. Well, why are you afraid? Oh, it's this gun. Here, take the gun, Ruth. You take it. He's afraid. I'm not going to hurt you, Mr. Dietrich. Well, what's the matter? Why don't you answer me? Who killed John Dietrich? It wasn't me. It wasn't Elmer. It wasn't Franklin. But someone in the house. Was it? Ruth! Ruth! You!
I told you not to come. Oh, I love you, Danny. I wanted you. I wouldn't have let them get you.
Why, Ruth? Why did you kill him?
He was always after me. He wouldn't leave me alone. I hated him. Then that night he came at me, threatened me, said he'd kill me. If he couldn't have me, nobody could. He had a gun, and I got it away from him. He hit the clock. He leaned against it. I thought he'd never fall down and die. It was the day you ran away, and I was crazy. They thought it was you. They started looking. I love you, Danny. I still love you. I begged you not to come back here.
Ruth! Put down that gun, Ruth.
No. Stand back, Danny. Stay over there. Just want to look at you. I was hoping we could get away together. But you've been through enough, Danny. And all because of me. Now you're clear, Danny. And this is going to clear me.
Oh, Ruth. Ruth! I guess that's about all there is to tell. I try to put it all behind me, to resume my life where it left off over 3 years ago. Sometimes when it gets toward evening, I go and walk along Tillery Street. Once in a while, somebody I don't know, will say, "Hello, Danny." And I just say hello and walk on. I don't want to find out anything anymore. I want it all to die away and be still. And it will. All except Ruth. Because somewhere behind that black curtain, I was loved and loved someone. We must have known a love that I'll never know again.
And so closes The Black Curtain, starring Mr. Cary Grant. Tonight's tale of suspense.
Since the beginnings of history, people have enjoyed wine. Ages ago, our ancestors found that wine made any food taste better. Wine is a simple pleasure that anyone can enjoy. That is why Roma has devoted all its winemaking skill to producing wines of fine quality at a price that means you can enjoy them often, just a few cents a glass. Don't feel that you need fine crystal or a special occasion to serve Roma wines. Next time you have a quick supper, serve Roma wine in plain tumblers with your spaghetti or cold meats. And notice how much more enjoyment and zest it adds to the meal. Serve Roma wine often, cool or chilled. You'll quickly discover why Roma, R-O-M-A, Roma wines are America's largest selling wines. Yes, Roma wines are true to type, Roma wines are faithful in flavor, Roma wines are sound of character. Roma wines are reasonable in cost. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Our thanks to Cary Grant for his suspenseful performance here tonight. And Mr. Grant wants us to say that he will be listening with you next week at the same hour to Mr. Robert Young in the story called The Night Reveals. Don't forget then, next week, same time, for Robert Young in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are hiding in the middle of a great forest, quiet as a shadow, while closing in on you, hunting you down like an animal, is a silent archer who will kill you with an arrow through the heart.
Listen now as Escape brings you Anthony Ellis's adaptation of the classic story, Robert of Huntingdon.
Hear ye, hear ye. Let it be known by all present that a sum of 100 pounds is placed upon the head of the outlaw, Robert of Huntingdon. And that an additional 50 pounds is to be the reward for whomsoever shall maim, kill, or capture the following. The felons Little John, Will Scarlet, Will Stutley, Nick Much, the friar known as Tuck, Gamble Gold, Eleanor Dale, Arthur of Bland, David Doncaster, Gilbert of the White Hand.
That proclamation was by order of his worship, the Sheriff of Nottingham, in whose house a meeting was taking place.
Robin Hood! Robin Hood! I'm sick of the sound of that name. Something's got to be done. It's gone too far. They shoot the king's deer in the king's forest. Why, they call it their forest. Nobody's safe anymore. Beggar, tinker, bishop, nobody. It's got to stop. Now, I want Sir Martin of Matlock to say a few words. He's offered his services in the name of the king and myself, Sir Martin.
My lords, gentlemen, it seems quite obvious that your attempts to put a stop to this Robin Hood have been anything but successful. I've heard it said that more than once the sheriff himself has been tied backwards on an ass and sent trotting home.
Quiet, quiet. We know all about that, Sir Martin. Do you mind getting to the point?
All right. The point is that in Sherwood Forest, there's a band of about 140 who fancy themselves the savior of the poor and the scourge of the rich. Well, that's an old story, and one I'm sure we've come to know pretty well. Any excuse for outlawry? Well, I propose to stop them. To gather a force of men. 100 mounted, 100 archers, and 100 foot soldiers. Go into that forest and exterminate Robin Hood with the others once and for all.
Wait. We can't afford to give you such an army without some kind of plan. And besides, most of our best men lie buried there as it is. What you're proposing has been tried. It's nothing new. You don't know these outlaws as we do.
I have a plan, Your Worship.
Oh?
I'll go into the forest alone.
Alone?
These outlaws don't know me, and I think because of that, I'll be able to succeed.
How?
Let's say I pretend to be a wronged yeoman. They take me in to become one of the band. I find out their weakness, the sentry posts, everything I can to help us when the time comes for attack.
It's very dangerous, you know. We won't be able to help you if they don't believe your story.
Yeah, it's my life, Your Worship. I can do what I want with it. If I fail, you've lost nothing. If I succeed...
All right.
And the rest of you? Good. Good. Give me a week. I'll get word to you when the time comes. My signal for the attack will be a blast on this horn. And now, my lords and gentlemen, I'll disguise myself as a poor but honest yeoman, foully wronged by His Worship, the Sheriff of Nottingham.
The sheriff had made an ally in Sir Martin of Matlock, and with him the hope that his worst enemy, Robin Hood, would at last be brought to justice. In Sherwood Forest, two men dressed in Lincoln green sat lazily beside a brook. One tall, handsome, his cap set carelessly at an angle on his head, shading the eyes from the sun. The other man, a giant, at least 7 feet, and an ell or more around the waist, chewing and sucking at the marrow of an entire oxen thigh bone.
I'm going to have to speak to Nick much about the quality of the sheriff's beef, Robin.
Little John. And I've been thinking.
Oh, sir.
When was the last time the sheriff of Nottingham came to Sherwood?
I remember. It was when Nick Much and I brought him. Remember we tied him backwards?
Yes, I remember. It's more than a year ago, wasn't it? Doesn't it seem strange to you?
Strange?
Yes.
Dull, maybe. Life isn't the same without that nasty little toad to worry.
Robin, we've got an idea. We go to Nottingham, huh?
We could do it again. 20 men storm his house.
No, I wasn't thinking of that. But I have a feeling that something is wrong. He's up to something. I can feel it. The forest has been too quiet and... we haven't been bothered for a long time.
I notice you're growing the beginning of a pot.
Don't talk to me about pots, you great cumbersome hog. Little John. Wait a minute.
What?
Listen.
To what?
Someone's coming. Pick up your bow. Give me cover from the trees over there. I'll wait here. See who it is.
Yeah, be careful, Robin.
Morning, stranger.
Well, good morning to you, my friend.
I seem to have lost my way. Can you tell me where I am?
Certainly. This is Sherwood Forest. Where are you going?
Nowhere. Anywhere.
Where do you come from?
Nottingham.
Huh?
Yes, today, thanks to the sheriff, I lost my cottage, my cow, my land, everything.
Oh? I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I know the forest well enough. If you like, I'll guide you through it.
Thanks. But I'm looking for a man here, a particular man.
No?
Robin Hood. Possibly you know him. He's called an outlaw by some, but there are others who swear by him.
Yes, I know. Do you mind if I ask you why you want to find him?
Well, they say he's always in need of good yeomen. Now that I'm a felon in the eyes of the king, I've nothing much to live for. Unless he takes me into his company.
Well, what is this nasty thing that you did?
It was one of the king's deer. I shot it and was seen by a forester.
Yeah.
I escaped with my life, my longbow, and these arrows.
Uh-huh. Now, from the look of your eye, I'd say you have the making of an archer. Little John?
Yes?
What's your name, my friend?
Martin Greenleaf.
This little fellow coming here is called Little John. Martin Greenleaf wants to join the band of Sherwood Forest.
I heard the talk.
What are you called?
Robin Hood.
Well, I wasn't sure.
Take him to David Doncaster, Little John. Have him measured for a suit of green. And then tell Nick Much to prepare some food for him. Welcome to Sherwood, Martin Greenleaf. I think you can see to it that you'll never have regrets for today.
So according to his plan, Sir Martin of Matlock was received with all the hospitality and kindness the outlaws could give. Only one looked on the newcomer with a jaundiced eye, Little John. Friar Tuck came upon the giant, sullenly whittling a shaving of wood.
And what's the matter with you, little man?
Face
like that is enough to make a bee's nectar sour. Now, why aren't you at table feasting with that newcomer, Martin?
Fat friar.
Huh?
Go away, I didn't ask for your company.
Oh, save us all, I don't like yours either. That's no answer to my question.
All right, then, I don't like him. This Martin Greenleaf.
Oh?
I don't know why. Robin's too easy. He's a mark for a sad story. This fellow's told one, that's all.
And if the story is true?
If. I'd rather have found that out before inviting him to join us.
You are a suspicious chap.
Yeah, well, go on back and stuff yourself. I didn't ask you.
Yeah, where are you going, Chell?
To look for better company.
But Little John had another idea. He dressed himself in the disguise of a tailor, and carrying nothing but a stave and a dagger, he made his way to Nottingham, where he hoped to find out what he could about Martin Greenleaf. But luck wasn't with him, because he'd gone less than a mile beyond the forest when he was seen by six of the sheriff's henchmen. And because of his great height, they recognized him.
I tell you it is. It's Little John. I've seen him before when we fought the outlaws in the forest. Take him!
Yeah! Yeah! I know you! Hey!
But the odds were too great, and finally Little John was taken prisoner into Nottingham, where he was locked in prison to await the sheriff's displeasure. It was Will Scarlet who heard the news from a friendly tinker and carried it to the outlaws.
Robin! Robin! Quiet, all of you, quiet!
Quiet! What's the matter, Will?
Little John. Little John.
Well, what about Little John?
The sheriff's men took him by surprise. They've got him now, in Nottingham.
Where? When? He was here a little while ago.
That's all I can tell you. On the Nottingham Road, the tinker swears it was Little John.
All right, we'll go to Nottingham then.
And I'll tell you for one, I'll pick out the sheriff's heart and throw it to the dogs when we come back.
We will return to Escape and tonight's story, Robert of Huntington, in just a moment. For stirring chorus singing, lend your ears to The Choraleers every Sunday night on most of these same CBS radio stations. Yes, later tonight, enjoy The Choraleers. And now, back to Escape.
When Sir Martin of Matlock heard the news, he smiled. He hadn't expected things to work so well, so quickly. But also the suddenness of the event had taken him by surprise, and he had to find a way to warn the sheriff of Robin Hood's decision. Because every available man would be needed in the attempt to free Little John, Robin gave the spy a sword and arrows, and the men in Lincoln Green began the march through Sherwood to Nottingham. They stopped at the edge of the forest, and Robin called a council meeting.
We'll wait until it gets dark.
Oh, but every hour, Robin, every minute we wait, Little John has less of a chance.
Chance? What chance do you think we'd have if we attacked in daylight?
That's it, Will. That's why we've got to wait.
Well, I say curse the daylight and curse the sacrifice. While we're talking, Little John may be dying.
There's no other choice, Nick. Darkness is only about 2 hours away. With it, we'll have an element of surprise. Without that, we're finished. And so is Little John.
I don't know.
Can I say something, Robin?
What? Oh, Martin Greenleaf, of course.
Wouldn't I be the least likely to be recognized among you? I mean, supposing I went to the prison alone, say as a pasty maker, selling my wares to the guards.
You've got a lot of courage, Martin, but...
But what?
You know, it may be the thing.
Oh, Robin, I...
If you were to make yourself known to the guards, they might not suspect. When they're relieved of duty and replaced by others for the night, that might be our chance.
While they're changing, if you could give us the signal to attack.
3 blasts on my horn.
Yes, 3.
All right.
If you are suspected, though, you know what it will mean.
I'll take that chance. You took one with me, didn't you, Robin?
All right, Martin. Do we all agree on it?
Yes. All agree.
You better leave your sword and bow with us. We'll have them for you ready when the time comes. And good luck, Martin.
You naughty, naughty man. You're going to pay for all these years, you know. I've waited a long time for this. Perhaps you thought I'd forgotten your treatment of me the last time I was forced to go with you into the forest.
Tighten your arm.
Silence! You'll pay. You're going to pay. Slowly. Slowly.
Having to listen to you is payment enough, you nasty little maggot.
Silence! You wait. You won't be laughing long. First, there's a little matter of your master, Robin Hood. I've got a surprise for him. Don't you worry. Couldn't be better. We won't have to bring him out of hiding. He'll come to us. I know if he'll try to do something heroic.
Then I was right.
Oh, yes. You were right. They'll come. When they do, we'll be ready. 300 men, you ugly pig. Waiting for them now, inside the gates of the town. What have you got to say about that? My little John.
And at the edge of the forest, Robin and his men were also waiting. Each man silent with his own thoughts, and then the sun was gone from the sky. Robin stood a little apart, sharpening the blade of his dagger.
Hey, Robin.
Yes?
Oh, Friar Tuck.
Now, Robin, I've been thinking. Yes? There was something little John spoke to me about before he left us.
Well, what was it?
This Martin Greenleaf.
No? Well, go on.
Well, now, John didn't seem to know why, but he said he didn't like the man, didn't trust him.
Now, that's strange for little John.
Yeah. At first, I wondered about it. Then I forgot, and now I'm beginning to wonder again. And Martin's willingness to do what he's done. You know, it is possible that he is one of the sheriffs.
No, right? No, I can't believe that.
No. You've always been a good man, Robin. That's one of the reasons I joined you. I don't say I blame you if you thought his story was true. But at the same time, if it wasn't...
If he was lying...
Yeah.
Then little John's capture is on my head. Yes. Why would he be so anxious to risk his life? He doesn't know little John. Why should he care that much?
Ah. I should have spoken of this before.
Yeah, and before I might not have listened, which is even more foolishness. Call the men together, Friar. We've got to decide about this.
And they decided. There was no proof of Martin Greenleaf's wrongdoing, but the thought was planted and grew until the fears were shared by all of them. And then Robin made his plan. Meanwhile, at the sheriff's house, for there the lawmaker had gone to eat the evening meal... A servant entered, and close behind was Sir Martin of Matlock.
Sir Martin, you've got word.
Better than that. I've got their plan of attack.
You mean they're coming now?
At nightfall.
Better and better. We're ready. I never dreamed of such quick results.
When the guards are changed in the prison court tonight, that's the signal for attack.
Uh-huh.
I'm to blow 3 times on my horn.
Good. The archers will be posted on the prison walls.
Yes, and pikesmen inside the gates. And once the outlaws are in...
Those that haven't been killed by the arrows...
The horsemen can finish.
We've got him. We've got him.
But that wasn't the first time the sheriff had said these very same words, only to see his triumph melt away through his fingers. A little while later, as the last gleam of sunset was turning from gold to rust and clouds were tinged with purple, a ragged and forlorn figure was seen mingling with the soldiers inside the prison gates.
Stand aside. I am a good man.
May heaven bless you, kind children.
And slowly the beggar made his way closer and closer to the prison door. Then he was inside and sidling up to the guard who was watching the preparations in the court.
Go on, get out of here. I haven't got anything for you. Get out.
Kind sir, all I ask is that you...
Don't make a sound or I'll cut your head off, and I mean it. Back. Get away from the door. All right, quickly. Take me to the dungeon where you're holding Little John. And remember one sound and you're going to be a very dead man. Faster.
Yes.
The key. Little John.
That you, Robin?
Yes.
Man, this time I was certain I'd be dancing at the end of a rope.
Not yet, little man. Guard the key to the chains. Hurry.
Yes.
We've got to get out before the prison gates are closed. There's only a minute. Pretty small odds. We've got to run like hares.
Oh, give me a second to exercise. Oh, this is the dog who hit me while I was chained. Here, one second, Robin.
No.
Tilt your head, Master Foul Fellow. Drop more. Now, Robin, I'm ready.
Robin and Little John made their way back to the great prison door and outside into the court where the light of day was almost gone. Two soldiers were approaching the gate to close it. And in the center of the square stood Sir Martin of Matlock, bugle in his hand. A stride away, looking pleased, the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Walk as quickly as you can and as close to the walls as possible. Come on.
Oh, I'd give my luck for my sword or even my stave now. Oh, you shouldn't have come, Robin.
When I say the word, run.
Hey, look. I'm starting to change the guard at the gates. All I hope is when Martin Greenleaf gives the signal, he'll blow the brains right out of his head. Now, run!
A prisoner! Robin! Two!
We'll try for the other side of town, then across the lee.
Little John! You're hurt.
No. I'm all right. Hip prick in the shoulder. Where are the others? You'll see.
And because of the confusion, Robin and Little John escaped from Nottingham. And as he'd planned, Robin led the way across the lee to a long hedgerow some 200 rods from the town walls. And there they stopped because behind the brush was Robin's entire force. And each man had an arrow ready in his bow.
Give me a sword, one of you, and a bow.
Here, Little John. I had not much hope of giving them to you, but I brought them along in prayerful faith.
Fat old devil, thanks.
Quiet now, men. They'll be coming out of the town in a moment. Be ready at the signal.
And moments later, they saw the mounted soldiers ride out. And behind them had run the pikesmen and archers, fanning out in a solid line. The lights of Nottingham were behind them. And where the men of the forest were hidden in darkness, such was not the case with the sheriff's men. The sound of hooves fell upon the stillness, and behind the hedgerow, every string pulled taut, every long bow bent. The slaughter was terrible. Almost every horseman had been unseated at the first volley, and the deadly cloud of arrows continued to fall steadily amongst the sheriff's army. And when finally in complete defeat the archers and pikesmen were falling back, The men in green with drawn swords charged and completed the rout. It was Robin who came upon Sir Martin of Matlock.
This, Sir Martin, is for your treachery. This is for Little John. And this is for me.
And with a tremendous stroke, Robin cut him down. The battle lasted only a few moments longer, and then on a signal from Robin, the men of Sherwood melted back into the darkness in the forest, leaving the field strewn with the sheriff's dead and hurt soldiers. Little John's wounded shoulder was attended to by Friar Tuck, as were the wounds of the others. And then a great merrymaking began, which lasted far into the night. As for the sheriff of Nottingham, at the first sound of battle, he ran into his house, and locking the door behind him, stood quivering in fear until the news of defeat was brought to him. And then his great courage returned, and he swore a mighty oath that someday he'd go again into Sherwood, and by his own hand bring Robert of Huntingdon to justice.
Under the direction of Norman MacDonald, Escape has brought you Robert of Huntingdon, adapted by Anthony Ellis, starring William Conrad as Robin Hood. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Edgar Berrier, and Herb Ellis, with Jack Crucian, Vic Perrin, John Stevenson, Harry Bartell, and Peter Leeds. Editorial supervision is by John Meston, and the special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Next week.
You are standing at the entrance of a walled Arab town, while behind you, coming slowly through the night, are the shuffling footsteps of a blind beggar who will lead you into a harrowing world of darkness and terror.
If you don't know the difference between a hawk and a horse, that, as the pundits say, is a horse on you. And if you don't know the difference between CBS Radio's Bob Hawke and any ordinary quizmaster, then you'd better take steps. Yes, take steps right to your radio Monday nights and enjoy the quips, the quiz, the merriment of the Bob Hawke Show on most of these same CBS radio stations. This is Roy Rowan speaking. And remember, America now listens to 105 million radio sets and listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next week with more between now and then. If you want to hear more from Suspense, Escape, the Relic Radio Show, or anything else Relic Radio, visit the website at relicradio.com. You'll find everything listed right on the front page. There's also a donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again soon with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.